Thank you. Thank you, my good people, for tuning in to another episode of the Simply Hoop Show. I'm your host, Chris. You can find me on Twitter at Simply Hoops with a Z. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, man. You don't want to miss out on any good content. Topic of this episode is the Houston Rockets. James Harden is definitely an MVP conversation. We break down the Rockets and their recent struggles against the Spurs. Also, some award predictions. Make sure you give me a follow at Simply Hoops with a Z. Subscribe to the podcast. Enjoy the show. So the first thing we got to start off with, man, is that loss that the Rockets had to the Spurs on Monday night. What did you think about that one?
Yeah, like as a Rocket fan, it was hurt, but as a fan of basketball, that was like, that's a good ass game. Good game, man. You can't take nothing from that game. That was just an amazing game. Kawhi did what he had to do, you know. You can't take it. That's just great basketball. It's not like the Rockets played terrible or anything, you know. They just got beat by a team that made a better play at the end.
Yeah, it was one of them last second wins, and it was a close one. You know, it wasn't a blowout, so I like when teams compete like that, especially teams that we know are good teams, you know, because I don't want to watch a game where two of the best teams in the league right now are just really playing on a whatever level, you know. So it was good to see that. What did you think of that last possession? Did you think James Harden went a little too quick? Or
no, actually, I feel he did the right thing. We got the pick on Kawhi, the move Kawhi off of him. He penetrated, got to the rim. And actually, David Lee fouled him. He hit his elbow. No, like when James Harden went up, they went chest to chest. And as David Lee went backwards, he like swiped down. And that's where it slowed Harden. And before you knew it, Kawhi was flying in, ripping the ball. Before you knew it, Kawhi was there. Boom. Like, whoa.
Yeah, Kawhi was ready, man. He was ready.
I couldn't even like be mad. It was just like appreciation moment. Like, Jesus. Like, whoa.
Yeah, it was good, man. I mean, I just, as a fan, like you said, you like the game. But, you know, that last, 30 seconds of that game, really, Kawhi was already in the MVP conversation. But just doing that on national TV on that level against James Harden, today you wake up and everybody will not stop talking about Kawhi being in the conversation. And he's just a big they're giving him a lot more credit right now after that game. And let me just ask you this. Do you think that he deserves to be considered MVP right now?
Yeah. I put him in my – I have Kawhi in my top four. Whenever KD went out, I only do top four. I don't try to bother with five. I mean, it started becoming too much. So I try to keep it as small as possible, you know, like the whole year, so it don't be that whole shifting narrative stuff. And KD was in there. It was KD, LeBron, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. But when KD went down, you start looking for the next closest person, you know, like to have somebody else. Because you had LeBron that sit out a lot of games. Russell and James Harden play every game. But, I mean, everybody have their preference or what they prefer. But Kawhi Leonard's that next guy. Their team is having a good season. He the best player on a great team. They got the best defense. He the best defender. On the best defense in the NBA. They like number five offense. You can't ignore that. Like, he the best offensive player and defensive player on the first number one defense and the number five offense. That's hard to ignore. His number's not exactly James Harden and Russell Westbrook's or nothing, but he is in a conversation, like a legit candidate. And I think if they pull off the first seed, then I think he may really could win it. It's going to become realistic that he could win it if they get that one seed.
Yeah, for real, because as far as the MVP conversation goes, everybody is riding Westbrook, but people are forgetting that just even though he's having this amazing season, the media are the people who vote on this, and I don't see them giving Westbrook a pass for not winning. I really think that they would do like the same way they disrespected Harden by not putting him on an All-NBA team last year. I think that they would do the same with Westbrook, as in he gets a couple first-place votes, but because Harden is playing on not the same level, but he's up there. The fact that it's debatable and Harden's team is winning, I think that right there gives Harden the edge over Westbrook right now.
Yeah, the wins definitely, that's what killed Harden. 2 years ago in the MVP conversation with Steph Curry, it killed him. And last year killed them as far as first team, or well, any All-NBA team. They're not just first. Like, the numbers could be there, but if you're not winning, the vote is not. You're going to have some voters, you know, they still, like, they don't have that whole win thing, like, but they'll just appreciate what you do. But as a whole, you got to win. And as a seventh seed, you're not going to get it. That's the one thing killing Russell Westbrook. And at the same time, his assists have fallen to 10. Like, on the dot. He averaging 10 exactly. So, one or two games under 10, he is going to fall off. And it's weird, but 9.9 is not the same as 10. And they're going to literally jump off the wagon. When it's literally right there, but they're going to jump off the wagon because it's not exactly a triple-double. And that could hurt.
Right, they're looking for that. They're looking for that one little issue, that one little problem. Just say, "Up, you don't get it." Because Harden's clearly right there, man, and he's right on his heels. And I think that the Rockets, only thing, the main thing that's scaring them about me, right, scaring them, that whole team, like, they're winning now because of that shooting. They can make them threes, man. When they get hot, every player except Capella and Nene are out there just draining threes. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, it is ridiculous. Like, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson can't make a layup, but he can make it half court. It's insane.
He's frustrating me. He can sit out there at half court and shoot, but he cannot make a layup to save his life. But,
and I just feel like that'll hurt them when it comes playoff time.
Yeah. But the one thing I do add, it's, he don't do it a lot because we don't really shoot mid-rangers, but he got a smooth little step back. I give Ryan it, but he just not good at the rim for some reason. He can hit a step back over people or anything, but he cannot finish a layup or anything at the rim. Nothing close. But, you know, like, it's what we got in him. We knew it before we got him. That's what we was getting, so it's not like, you know what I mean? And at the same time, we don't like him in the paint anyway because the further out Ryan O is, the better the space needs for James Harden to do what he need to do. And you don't really want to be guarding James Harden one-on-one. It's not too many players in NBA that wanted to stare down James Harden in open court one-on-one. And the fact that we had Rhino on one side stretched out to the max, and Gordon on the other side stretched out to the max. Those two don't shoot threes at the three-point line. They give at least a foot back or two back. They never on the three-point line, like, exactly on it. They are always deeper, which adds spacing. And then that gives Capella the whole rim. That's how the alley from Harden to Capella works so well, because they had that whole area. That's theirs. Nobody in there but those two. Harden break down the big or whoever switches, and then hit him and Capella at the rim.
That pick and roll is just unstoppable, man. When you bring Capella out there to the three, and then he just drags the other team's center, who literally, they never want to pass the free throw line. So as soon as you make him take a step up there, they're already uncomfortable. And Harden is the worst person to be guarding out there. And I think that setup is perfect right now. I just feel like other teams will find a way to stop that. So one of the things I was thinking is they need to add in an extra little wrinkle for their pick and roll situation. I think that they should have Ryan Anderson set a screen on Capella's man before Capella comes and sets a screen for Harden. So that slows the center down even more, and the defense has to communicate even more. And with that space, Harden will easily get 30 points a game. Easy.
We have a play, like, similar. It's not that. It's actually Rhino set a pick on Harden, man, at the top of the key. And Harden, he always throw a behind-the-back pass every time. It's the same pass, a behind-the-back pass to Rhino every time, depending on how they react. So if they don't, if they double Harden off of it, then it's Rhino. If they jump and stay, then here comes Capella pick and roll next. So it's like a double pick and roll, basically. But as far as, like, most teams haven't actually adapted to it, but in playoff series, that's when they bring out, you know what I mean? In playoff series, whenever everybody bring out their best stuff. Like, because you have time to prep and stuff like that. You have more time to play in and watch them more. So I'm sure somebody are going, they going to bring that to us. So I'm sure Mike D'Antoni, as good as he is, he'll have something ready for it, though. He adjusts very well.
Yeah, and that's another thing. That's another thing I want to talk to you about. I feel like Harden's main issue, and a lot of players, superstar players like Harden, they don't really get to flourish until they get the right coach. Like, I think Dame is as good as he is because of the coach he has. And then we look at Harden, and the first few years in his career, he was good, but not this good. And now he's playing on a different level, not only because he matured and he's played in defense a lot better. I feel like D'Antoni helped in every area. You know, just move him to point guard, let him operate more and be the primary ball handler. Like, we've seen him flourish to a different level now. And I think that people often forget how important coaching is. And this is one of the main situations that we're reminded that coaching is extremely important, because D'Antoni has just set up a perfect situation for him. With, like you said, how you described it, with the shooters all out, and now he can really operate. So I think that D'Antoni was the perfect coach for him. I don't think there's a better coach for Harden in the league right now.
D'Antoni was I wasn't feeling D'Antoni at first, which I've already admitted it's the biggest mistake I made. But James Harden bought into it. James Harden had a hand in picking his coach, and that's what he wanted, and it's showing. Whenever your coach trusts you and you trust your coach, that's when you get the most success. Similar to the Cavaliers with the Tyronn Lue. I mean, Tyronn Lue, coaching switch. There's somebody that LeBron and them trusted, his opinion and everything. And whenever you had it with your best player and your coach, they'll take you to the next level. Last year, they brought it up. I forgot who brought it up, but one of the analysts brought it up about Harden switching the point guard. And Kevin McHale thought that was the most craziest idea ever and said, it's not going to happen. And here it is, James Harden is point guard, and this dude is a whole new player, which Kevin McHale failed to bring out. That's just the whole fact of, like, when you get that coach that your player trusts and trusts each other, that's when they get real special.
Man, and we got to, like, I mean, I got to admit, I was one of the people who used to always be on James Harden for his defense. But, man, this season, I remember you tweeting me a video about just showing him playing D. And now I've been starting to pay a lot more attention. And he's really, like, he woke up on the defensive end. He plays a lot harder. And I'm not saying he's on Kawhi Leonard's level of perimeter defending. I'm not saying that at all. But his effort, his awareness, it's on a different level right now. And I respect that, you know. And that's what I've been saying he needed to do. And now that he's doing it, I think that that's another area, another reason why he's in this MVP conversation so much. That clip you showed me, him guarding Marc Gasol a year ago, Marc Gasol would have went and got that layup easily. But Harden was, he was on some defense, man, and I respect that.
Yeah, his defense definitely improved. He went from 115th efficiency rating to 57th, I want to say. And LeBron James at like 65 or something. So I was like, whoa. But it's not... I sort of credit it to not having to cast much a load on offense. Yeah, he still, like, but he not having to score on offense as much, you know? He's so good that he could pass it to somebody and not have to feel like he got to do every single thing, which that allows you to get more effort on the other side of the ball instead of draining yourself and killing yourself on the offense here. You could invest a little more in defense. I saw James Harden guard Kawhi Leonard yesterday and lock him up. And then we got a foul call at the end or whatever, but I take that from James Harden any day of the week. He played defense, like legit defense. Real good defense.
Kawhi got bailed out right there, man. So I think it was Beverly that reached in and they bailed him out.
He reached in.
Hey, Harden needed that for his highlight reel, man. He should have let him get
that. I put that in the highlight reel too, because even though it was a foul, that was a great defense. He locked up. It wasn't his foul. But
yeah, that was clamps.
He guard Kawhi. He guards Marc Gasol, Zebo. Wherever he switches, he's not uncomfortable, you know, because Harden is stronger than... He's stronger than pretty much any point guard, shooting guard, wings. He's stronger than most of all of them, so he could body up with the power force and stuff. I'm not saying he could go wrestle with DeAndre Jordan or something, but, I mean, he's strong. So, it's good to see him, like, invest in that at the end of the court, though. It's all effort.
All effort, man. And when players give a lot more effort, you can just see it. It's a different energy, and I think his leadership has improved as well. I think when last year when Dwight Howard was there, neither one of them wanted to take over the leadership role. And this season, he just seems like a totally different player. And, like, as far as his leadership, I think he's made a player like Sam Decker play a lot better. I saw potential in him when he was in college, and now I think he's been playing a lot better in his role there, and Harden is helping him do that.
Yeah, Sam Decker has been incredible. Like, last year he was injured, his back, so he kind of spent a lot of time watching film, which in the long run I feel like helped him, like, understand more. He wasn't actually playing, but he found things to do to stay active, stay involved, and, like, so it's not totally new. But as far as leadership, without him and Dwight having to do the superstar struggle pull or whatever, then James Harden got to fully take over. All right, it's my team now. I mean, he got to fully be in charge. And there's rumors going around that last year it was kind of divided. Dwight had his little crew of the Rockets. James Harden had his crew. Also, I think Patrick Beverley is all, like, heart and soul of this team. You can't, you don't replace a guy like Pat Beverley. The stuff that Pat Beverley gives you nightly is unbelievable. So I feel like his leadership is right there with Harden. I think he got Harden to buy into defense for the most part because Pat Beverley not letting no one slip.
Nobody. Patrick Beverley is one of those guys that when you go to 24-Hour Fitness, you hate playing against him because you know he's going to lock you up. He's not going to give you any easy buckets. He will not play lazy in that one possession. But you love having him on your team because you know you can depend on him to play defense. You love having a guy like Pat Beverley on your team, man. Because he's just a hound, and you need hounds like that, man. You need a hound. Every team needs a hound.
Yeah, I definitely credit Pat Beverley the most for his defensive change in James Harden. And as the team as a whole, because it's plenty of times where we, like, just slouching, not just going through it. Here's Pat Beverley 100 miles an hour. Like, the only one, like, you can clearly see rebounding. I think he, like, fourth in rebounds amongst the guards. Like, the fourth most 10-plus rebound games or something. He get offensive rebounds. He always somewhere bothering somebody, you know. On your team, you love him. He like Draymond. If he on your team, you love him dead, though. When he not, you,
man,
you hate him. You just don't. But I love Pat Beverley, man. And we get him on the budget. Pat Beverley only make $6 million this year. And next year, it go down.
A lot of teams was trying to snatch him at the trade deadline, and the Rockets was smart, man. They held on to him. That was smart.
Everybody made. I believe the Cavs offered Shumpert. No go. They said, I believe Pat Beverley agent put out 16 teams called about him. The Rockets said no deal.
That's half the league.
They said James Harden was the first one that said no. He said it, it's not happening. It's impossible no matter what. There's no offer. Which Pat Beverley is something, man. You can't replace that type of guy.
Very few players in the league are that defensive minded where they're just, they're cool with locking up, scoring 4 points a game, but just playing defense. Very few players are like that. Only other guy I can think of is Tony Allen and Shane Battier. Like, very few players only want to play defense.
Yeah, those
so you get
special.
A guy like that, you have to keep him. So I'm really looking forward to see the Rockets in the playoffs this season. I think we got some exciting basketball. But if you had to choose, who do you want to play in the first round? I feel like the West is so wide open right now. But I think that there's nobody safe. You know, I feel like anybody can beat anybody right now. With the Warriors losing Durant, the Rockets haven't been super consistent. I'm not sure right now. I feel like the Spurs haven't been playing on. They've recently been playing on a high level, but throughout the season as a whole, they haven't been 100%. You know, and they're aging, of course. So you get to choose who you want to play in the first round. Who are you picking?
In the first round, I'll take probably the Jazz. I think I'll take the Jazz the first round. Because Jazz seem to struggle against superstars. That's the one thing that the Jazz struggle against is superstars. And Thunder, they always seem, for some reason, yeah, we 2-1 on the season on the Thunder. But every game is a struggle. Like, we go up by 15, they push it back. The end of the game is a 2-point game. One game, Westbrook dunk on Capella for the win. The other two, we beat them in the end. It's like, I don't want to play the Thunder. Not looking forward to the Thunder. The Grizzlies are a pound, like, just bruise you type team. They affect that the Grizzlies don't just happen that round. That lingers for the rest of the playoffs when you play the Grizzlies.
Yeah,
they,
man,
will bruise
that's
you.
That's a tough matchup.
So I think the Jazz, because I think the Clippers going to end up in the fifth seed. I think Clippers end up fourth seed, actually.
Okay.
But if I had my pick, that'll be the Jazz.
The Jazz, that's a good pick. I'm not mad at that. I think that just looking at the West as a whole right now, it's like it just seems open to me. I mean, the Warriors, of course, are probably going to be that one seed, but I don't think the Rockets and Spurs are too far behind. You know, coming into the season, nobody expected this, but now it's clear that the West is pretty open, man. It's not a super blowout like everybody thought it would be.
Nah, especially with KD going down, it definitely shook up everything. So I feel sorry for all the teams that was thinking at the deadline, like, oh, let's just wait. The Warriors kind of ahead. Rockets didn't sit back, you know. Rockets still made their moves, and all of a sudden KD go down. Oh, yeah, we made a good choice. So I feel sorry for the teams that was like, oh, the Warriors kind of ahead. We ain't going to catch them. So let's not make a move and let's just wait it out. We gave up a first round, late first pick for Lou Williams because we really was determined to beat the Warriors. And here it is, KD go down. So now the chances are even higher.
And that was so strategic.
That was so strategic
of them to get Lou Will. Because, I mean, when you look at the Rockets, it's like they already have scores. And instead of going out and trying to get more defense, they got more scores. Like, that's such a strategic move because it says to the other teams, like, okay, we're going to beat you on offense. This is our plan. We're going to outscore you. They didn't try to go and get a perimeter defender. They went and got a guy who can get buckets. Like, and Lou Will's known for that, for getting buckets. So that was just very strategic. And I mean, they put all their cards up. I like it. I respect it.
Yeah. It's not, if you look at the West, the top, the Warriors' defense not going to win you a game again. I'm telling you right now. You're going to have to score. Your better chance to beat the Warriors is outscore them compared to trying to stop them. They have too many weapons to stop. And if you do have the weapons to stop them, you won't have the weapons to score identical almost. That's how come Memphis wouldn't beat them in a series. Memphis could slow them down, but I don't think Memphis could score at the same level that Golden State would. So it's probably easier to outscore or attempt to outscore them. I ain't going to say outscore because it's not as easy as I try to make it sound. But it's, your best chance is to outscore them compared to trying to stop them, which the Rockets done. We had a loaded offense. A lot of people like, go defense. We went offense some more. Turn up your offense. No, we got Lou Will and Eric Gordon averaging 18 and 17 points a game off the bench, which we had a lead scoring bench in the NBA now at like 54 and the next team at like 48. So that's pretty good. But they fell off recently, but I'm sure they'll get back going.
Yeah, that's I think that right there, I was going to ask you my next question. The biggest key for the Rockets to win in the playoffs, for me, is definitely the bench. I feel like Eric Gordon, everybody on the bench has to continue to play their role. The guys, like you said, the bench scoring is up there, top in the league. They need to keep that going. Because I think one thing that has hurt Harden in the past is he'll get stuck trying to do it by himself. And we see that ISO at the top of the key a lot. I mean, that's not bad if it happens every now and then. But when you have to do that literally one out of every five possessions in the game, that's a bad look because come the end of the game, he's exhausted and he's missed a lot of shots, so team morale is down. Like, you don't want to have to revert to Harden one-on-one too often. You know, that's like a last resort kind of thing. So what do you think is the biggest key for the Rockets to win in the playoffs?
Eric Gordon and Lou Will. When Harden sits, we need them to come in and keep it there. Keep the game close, you know what I mean? I see people talk, oh, Rockets guys, Eric Gordon and Lou Will, James Harden don't deserve MVP, they got the best team. I don't care about MVP. I care about winning playoff series, winning the championship. So if Lou Will and Eric Gordon want to be superstars when they come on the floor off the bench, that's, I take it. So we need the Eric Gordon, Lou Will, Patrick Beverly, he ran with that group too. It's like a little off group, like three guard group that we run. And Nene or Capella and then Sam Decker. We need those guys when they come in off the bench with Harden go to take their break. We need them to play about even. They do not have to beat they do not have to outscore the other team, but they need to be even, similar, because James Harden gonna get you over the top every time. They just gotta be close. Keep it close enough where he can rest and come back in and do what he do.
Yeah, man, they need a team effort. Like, Harden needs his team right now. I think that's what's been stopping him in recent years past. So right now he definitely needs his team, and they're gonna need it because, like I said, the other teams are obviously ready. You know, the Warriors, the Spurs, they're ready. You're not gonna beat them teams with just Saint James Harden. He can't do it by himself, not this time.
Mm-hmm. That's what I realized. And another thing is, we getting everybody best shot now. The Rockets ain't that team that's coming at them. Everybody wanna be Rockets circled on calendars now. Everybody excited to see them. Everybody saying the Rockets must watch league pass team. Everybody tuning in the games. I think that game wasn't national. They picked the Bulls.
Oh, was it?
No, they picked the Bulls or somebody to put on national TV on TNT that night. It was on league pass.
Man.
But the reaction was insane that everybody happened to see a game that wasn't on national TV. That game was talked about in everywhere compared to the actual game that's on TNT. So that's like incredible to know that your team to win is must watch now. But it get everybody best shot. Everybody want to see us lose. Well, some people want to see us lose. Some people rooting for us. Some people just want to see a good game. So it's like fun to kind of have that reaction around your team now.
It was great to see that, man. Yeah, man, I'm definitely loving where the league is going, and I like how the race is shaping up for MVP. And so let me ask you this too. Last quick question. So you giving Eric Gordon Sixth Man of the Year right now, right?
Yes, I give it to Eric Gordon. I could say Lou Will too, but Eric Gordon actually been on this team, and Lou Will came from a bad team, you know. That was my argument at first, and it was like, who will win it? I was like, Lou Will putting up empty numbers. But he here now, but I just can't take it from Eric Gordon unless Lou Will just go for 30 again like he did. He went for 30 for us already, so I'm still leaning Lou Will. I mean, Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon buckets, still man. Got my vote right now because he done it longer this season, you know, for actual playoff team, you know. That's not to take anything from Lou Will because he was killing it, but they wasn't playing, like, meaningful games, you know. Lakers wasn't. Like, they're just playing, trying to get through the season, you know. So I give it to Eric Gordon right now, but Lou Will is something special. I wouldn't care if they give it Cole in Sixth Man. I don't care. I mean, I wouldn't care at all. But Eric Gordon get my vote.
Okay. I can agree with you on that. I'll give it to him as well. I think you got two award winners on that team, man. Harden MVP, Eric Gordon Sixth Man. I don't think it's really too much of a debate for that right now, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty. That Sixth Man is definitely coming to the Rockets, I can promise you that. MVP is, I'm hardened, but I feel like everybody's starting to shift. Well, I feel like at the same time, it's the end of the season. Everybody just anxious, prisoner of the moment right now. So I feel like it's not going to be clear. Every game, people going to flip their vote. So right now, you're just kind of sitting it out, just waiting for it. Let it play out. The Rockets finish take care of business. The rest will take care of itself.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to see how this season ends, man. That's a good episode, man. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Thank you again for listening to another episode of the Simply Hoop Show. Again, I'm your host, Chris. Find me on Twitter at Simply Hoops with a Z. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Leave a 5-star review, rating, everything, man. Also, go to blogtalkradio.com/GPN. Check out all the shows on the Greatness Podcast Network. We definitely have some great content for you.